Hi, I'm Mary McPartland, and my guest today on Piano Jazz is the finely tuned singer Rebecca Paris. She's a woman of many moods who can show her poignant side, swing hard, and scat with the best of them. Hi, honey.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful and so proud to be here with you, Marian.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you.
Oh, thank you.
I just love your new record.
Thank you very much.
And I would dearly love to hear something from it. What do you say?
No, I'd do anything to be here with you, Marian. It's such an honor, and I'm just so pleased to be in the same room with you at last.
Well,
so
thank you.
A song is nothing.
Well, what's it going to be?
How about A Weaver of Dreams?
That's a good song. And by the way, we've got wonderful Brad Hatfield.
Yes, we do.
To play.
He's an amazing piano player. Okay, we'll have at it, Brad.
Strange fascination. You're a weaver of dreams. You and that come hither smile. Just to hear you speak can leave me weak as a babe in arms. Poor little babe in arms, helpless before your charms. You're a weaver of dreams. You and your lips warm and tender, just like magic it seems, thrilling me, you're enchanting me too. I'm in your spell and there's no cure. I'm lost for sure, 'cause you're a weaver of dreams and I'm in love with you. That strange fascination, just a weaver of dreams. You and that come here the smile, just to hear you speak can leave me weak as a babe in arms. Just a poor little babe in arms, helpless before your charms. You're a weaver of dreams. You and your lips warm and tender, just like magic it seems, thrilling me, enchanting me too. I'm in your spell and there's no cure. I'm lost for sure, 'cause you're a weaver of dreams and I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you.
I love that song, but I don't know it very well. How did you choose that one?
Well, it's a favorite recording of Carmen McRae's of mine, and And my daughter actually loves that song and asked me if I would learn it and do it. And I said, of course I would. So anything she asks of me, I'll do. It's written by a team of Young and Elliot. And it's a great tune, isn't it, though?
It is a great tune.
It's a great, great song.
And swings, it's got a great feeling
to
it.
Oh, it does. It does, and it works. It's really funny. I teach most of the songs that I do to my students, and that actually works as a great bossa samba.
Oh, really?
It's bizarrely phrased, but it's very cool.
Now, that's something that you do a lot of, teaching and...
Yes, I do. I do quite a bit of it, and I have some startlingly good singers on both coasts, and... Every time I go out to do a performance somewhere, I try to do a clinic or do some private students, and it's so worthy of me. I never thought, you know, 30 years ago, if you'd told me I was going to be a teacher, I would say, ridiculous, I'm a performer. And if I'd only looked for 30 seconds at my family heritage, not only were they marvelous musicians, but they were all teachers. But it's hard for me to switch over into the business of being a teacher. I'm more like a sociologist, psychiatrist.
And being a performer.
Yeah, my students call me the singer's shrink. Because that's where I have to take them to learn these songs.
That's cute. But your parents were music educators.
Absolutely.
So that sort of got you the feeling of it, I would imagine, as a young kid.
Growing up, there was never a quiet moment without music in our home. My mother was a concert pianist and church organist, and she was my piano teacher for quite a long time. My father was an actor, a singer, a church organist, a great piano player. I found out his first gig was to improvise to silent movies when he was about 12. And he was also an English professor and a French professor. So we had lots of teaching in the history. My grandmother was a teacher. I mean, so many in our past and forebears are teachers. So it was very interesting to find that out after the fact and say, well, no wonder I can kind of do this.
And you began performing. You did musical theater.
Yeah, when I was 6 years old.
How did you get into that?
Well, that's what my dad did. He compromised to pay the bills for a family of three girls and a wife by teaching full-time in the fall and winter and spring months. And in the summer, belonged to a repertory company that did all the musical tents in Massachusetts. And when I was a little girl, I would go into New York with him every spring, where he'd get his side, so to speak, for his new roles for that summer. And I kind of edged my way in because I was crazy and precocious as a child, you know, and always singing at the top of my lungs. So they offered me to do children's roles in the same company. And I did, and I stayed with them until I was about 18.
And you went to the Boston Conservatory?
I did.
Then after that.
And went there for a little while, and then got so bored I could scream and spent more time around the corner at Berkeley, and ended up in a band and a road band and just, you know, all sorts of different things.
You've got lots to talk about.
Yeah.
But I'd love to hear you sing some more.
Oh, certainly. I'd be happy to. Why don't we do It's Magic?
Great.
Okay. I've heard about Houdini and the rest of them, and I'd put you up against the best of them. As far as I'm concerned, you're the tops, and you don't resort to props. Things I used to think were inconceivable, you've a way of making them believable. And upon a night like this,
I'm afraid you just can't miss. You sigh, the song begins. You speak, and I hear violins. It's magic. The stars desert the skies and rush to nestle in your eyes. It's magic. Without a golden wand or mystic charms, fantastic things begin when you are in my arms, in my arms, in my arms. When we walk hand in hand, the world becomes a wonderland. It's magic. How else can I explain those rainbows when there is no rain? But magic. Why do I tell myself that these things that happen are all really true? When in my heart I know the magic is my love for you, for you. In my heart I know the magic is my love for you.
Boy, that's a song I haven't heard in a long time. Who used to sing that all the time?
Well, Doris Day made it beautifully famous.
And did you decide you'd make it your song as well?
Well, actually, I learned about that song from a friend of mine in Pittsburgh named Sandy Staley, who's a wonderful singer and a real swinging girl, and definitely the grand dame of jazz in Pittsburgh. And she does a version of it that's almost a little comedic. It's just adorable. But I fell in love with the song again, and then I realized I wanted to do it romantically and slowly and pretty and all that stuff. You know, us girls are such ballad queens, you know, so.
Well, that's where you show your poignant, lovely chops in ballad form. It's really nice.
Thank you, sweetheart. It's a wonderful song.
Well, there's more to come with my guest, Rebecca Paris, and her pianist, Brad Hatfield. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. I read somewhere where you worked with a whole lot of pop groups.
Well, I was in a pop group for about 10 years in the 70s, just about all of the 70s. And I was involved with the drummer, you know. It was my codependent decade.
Tell me about that.
was pretty bad. Anyway, we were working 5 shows a night, 6 nights, sometimes 7 nights a week. So when we did have a day off, the last place we wanted to go was to see another band. But left that and went to sit in with my friend Bob Winter at a piano.
Oh, I know Bob.
You know
Winter.
Bob, yeah.
Yes.
And he had a gig downtown in the financial district. And my friend Alan Reed was playing with him. And so I went and sat in and felt so good to sing a real song again.
With a real piano player.
Oh, gosh. It was like manna from heaven for me. Lyrics and chord changes and sensible whole thoughts and beautiful ideas. And then another night I went and sat in at another gig that was owned by Satch Sanders, an ex-Celtic. And another gentleman, Sonny Stanton, had the band there. He was a saxophone player. And I sat in and did something like Shadow of Your Smile or something like that. And he took me off the stage afterward and said, "You're not a rock and roll singer, you're a jazz singer." I said, "I don't think so. But I love the song, you know." "Well, that's the idea," he says to me. "You love the song."
Well, somehow you got into all the good things, like the Monterey Jazz Festival.
Yeah. I'd done Monterey, and I did 7 years on the Norway Floating Jazz Festival. It was fabulous. We'd hang out with Clark Terry. I became friends with Clark Terry and Joe Williams there, and so many people I can't even enumerate. Eddie Higgins and I did those for several years and had a wonderful time. And then I was on the ship, and Gary Burton was on the ship and doing his thing, and I was doing my thing. And he came to me after my show and said, "I've been thinking about doing an album with a singer, and I couldn't figure out who." And then I said, "But she's living right in my backyard. This is who I want to do an album with." So we did an album for BMG with him, and that was fabulous. And Gary and I became dear, dear friends, and he's been just so good to me over the years. He's a wonderful,
wonderful guy, isn't he?
Wonderful, most generous human I know, not only in education, but in spirit and just pure generosity, and just lovely, lovely human being.
And great to record with.
Oh, God. Very. Yeah, slightly. And then he can play piano so
I know.
Well. Born playing.
How did you learn all the songs that you sing? I mean, that you pick things. How do you pick songs?
I don't think I really pick. I think my hand goes to the paper where it's supposed to go. I firmly believe that a higher power is picking my music. Because since I got my method together, it was simply about going inward and finding where you had that song living in you. And it's like self-therapy in many ways. And I think that God hands me the tune when I'm ready to learn something new about myself.
Well, how did you get into the bossa nova end of things?
God, who could help it with Jobim and Yvonne Lienz and
Stan Kenton.
And Lenny Andraji. And you know, oh gosh, how could you help it? Dori Caymmi, who became my friend. Oh gosh, it's like heaven.
So you picked some songs.
Yeah, we're going to do a little version of Desafinado.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, on to it. 1 or 2, I can't get and they can't get. Love is like a never-ending melody. Poets have compared it to a symphony. A symphony conducted by the lighting of the moon. But our song of love is slightly out of tune. Once your kisses raised me to a fever pitch. Now the orchestration doesn't seem so rich. It seems to me that you changed the tune we used to sing. And just like the bossa nova, love should swing. We used to harmonize two souls in perfect tune. But now the song is different
and the words don't even rhyme, because you forgot the melody that our hearts would always croon. And what good's a heart that's slightly out of tune? Tune your heart to mine the way it used to be. Join with me in harmony and sing a song of loving, for we're bound to get in tune again before too long. And there will be no desafinato when your heart belongs to me completely, and we'll all be slightly out of tune. You sing along with me. Just like the bossa nova, love should swing. We used to harmonize two souls in perfect tune, but now the song is different and the words don't even rhyme. You forgot the melody our hearts would always croon. And what good's a heart that's slightly out of tune? Come on, tune your heart to mine the way it used to be. Join with me in harmony and sing a song of loving, for we're bound to get in tune again before too long. And there'll be no desafinato when your heart belongs to me completely. You won't be slightly out of tune. You sing along with me. Now sing along with me, yes. Sing a lovely song, a song of love. Love is like a never-ending melody.
You know, I think that might have been the first bossa nova I ever heard with Stan Getz. He made a lot of them famous right off the bat, didn't he?
Oh, he certainly did. I think Meditation was my first one. But then shortly thereafter came Desafinato, and then came a gazillion more, you know? And I was hungry for that feel. It was just wonderful. It's just so full of heart and passion and, you know, and palm trees and warm weather.
You know, it must be wonderful to be a singer and have all these great tunes to choose from. And I often wonder something like, how would you put a set together?
It's interesting to pick a set because you want to keep your audience's attention, of course, and that's the business piece of it. Sometimes it's thematic, sometimes it's not. But my whole idea is to take the audience and put them in this movie, and then the next song we're in this movie together, and then the next song we're in this movie together, and now we're happy, now we're sad, now we're reminiscent, now we're codependent as all get out, now we're now we're joyful, now we're funny, you know.
So you've got such a great personality, it must be fun to work an audience. And I wonder, when you come out, do you get a feeling from the audience of what you've got out there? Are they rambunctious, or are they going to be sort of bored, or do you have to light them up?
Sometimes I have to light them up, because sometimes you think that you never saw dead people sit up before, you know, one of those audiences. And then at the end of it, they give you a standing ovation, so you're going, where was I? I don't remember being in this room. And, you know, well, there's all sorts of different audiences, but for me, the key is to look everybody in the eye and find out where they are. And bring them to me, because if I don't invite them, they're not going to come willingly.
That's true.
Especially in New York. This is a jaded audience in this town. You know, you want to bring something new to them, or at least invite them to join you on your little excursion across songdom. But being a singer and singing songs, I'm envious of you because of the range of you know, the whole range, the vocal range that your piano has versus my range. I mean, there's so much you can do, and you've had such a blessed career of some of the most beautiful piano music. And you have, you know, the attention of a gazillion people who just know that you are so, so genuine and so real and such a lovely human to boot, that I'm dying to hear you play something all.
Well,
dying to hear
now that you've made me thoroughly nervous.
Oh, stop it. How could I make you nervous? My goodness,
let's
woman.
Let's see what I could play. Because I love ballads, best of all.
Back, right here, too.
And I could play something like These Foolish Things. Could you go for that?
I love that.
All right. I'll take a whack at that.
Okay. Marion, you made me cry. That was one of the most beautiful renditions of one of the most beautiful songs ever written. And from your second eight, I had tears in my eyes. And I kept it going, and now I'm trying to hold my nose from dripping all over my shirt.
Oh, was that
It was exquisite.
Well, thank you. I don't know what to say, but as long as you weren't holding your nose.
I was. No, I was not. But believe me, just trying to keep the tears up under my eyes. But I tell you, it was just beautiful, darling. I can't believe I'm in the same room, just being so close to you playing.
I love to play for people, and I don't know, it just came out because it's one of my favorite tunes, these Foolish Things.
I know.
And you probably sing it beautifully.
It's a wonderful song. I can attach so many different memories to those lyrics that it can't help but choke me a little bit, you know?
Oh, well, so you've got a reason.
Oh, yes.
Well, we've got more coming up with Rebecca Paris. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Sing me a beautiful ballad of
okay.
some kind.
How about This Is Always?
Oh, that's a great song.
Isn't
you don't
that
hear that
song?
Enough. I don't know why.
No, I know. It's true. It's. I just try to find these gems that live in the undercurrent, you know, and bring them up to the surface of the water, let them swim happily for a while.
Oh, maybe once in a while you hear somebody else do a song that hasn't been done in ages, and you think, boy, that would be one that I should do.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because that happens to me. Tunes that I haven't played in years.
Absolutely.
And somebody's arrangement will tickle me, and I'll say, well, I must play that tune.
Yeah, same thing. You know, I think that's the way some of us always hear material, you know.
That's how I get out of playing the same 10 tunes, which I would probably do otherwise.
I know, I have a terrible mind for titles. It's awful, but this is very special. I always sing this to my hubby Paul, because it describes how we met. And
oh,
it's
really?
Really fun.
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Our love will live. Our love will last. This is not a dream that ended with the dawn. It's one that fate intended to go on. And on. This isn't sometimes. This is always. It isn't maybe. This is always. Beginning of forever. This isn't just midsummer madness, not a passing glow or a moment's gladness. this is love. I knew it on the night we met. You tied a little string around my heart. So tell me how can I forget you? With every kiss, I know that this is always
that is a gorgeous song.
Isn't it a beautiful sentiment? I always talk to my audience and ask how many folks have been together a really, really long time. And I get hands, and then I ask questions about how long. And some folks have been together for 65 years and,
really?
You know, and more. And even the folks that are 20 and 10 and 2 get to hear this song and, you know, and really think about always and what a beautiful thing that is, you know.
I think it's great to put the audience in with you, if you can.
I think it's necessary. I think that, they're the ones that buy the tickets, right? They're kind of our priority. And I miss the time when it was all entertainment. I mean, as well as music and as well as an art form. And I tell musicians all the time, you know, Miles Davis might have turned his back on the audience, but he wore gold lamé when he did it. And never forgot for an instant that he was in show business.
Right.
And needed to please an audience as well as play his music. And it's so important to communicate with the people that we are with in the room, you know. Make sure they come back and do it again. And get off their couches and away from their super HD TVs and computers and let them be in the room with humans for a change, you know.
Well, it seems to me that it used to be years ago that it wasn't the thing to do to involve the audience. I think it's only in the past few years that we do that more than we used to.
Well, I think, you know, in the days of the Cotton Club, it certainly was involving the audience and making sure that they had a marvelous time. And you know, Dizzy Gillespie always entertained the audience.
Well, did you work with Dizzy's band?
I played with Dizzy when he in a trio quartet type of thing. It was really wonderful. He came to Cambridge to the Regatta Bar, and I was in the bar, and they were in the ballroom, and we got to switch over. So I would go and sing a tune or two with Dizzy's band, and I think Al Foster was on the gig, one of my favorite drummers. And then he came over to my band and sat in with my band. And it was just fabulous.
That must have been a kick.
And he stole my bacon off my breakfast plate. We were friends forever. And now I'm best friends with his daughter, Jeannie Bryson.
Oh,
so we're,
yeah.
We have it's a wonderful family we have in jazz.
I think so.
Yep. I think it's the best family there is.
It's true. Well, we've got to do a little singing here.
Okay.
So for me. What's it going to be?
They're going to do Them Their Eyes.
Oh, that's one of those good old tunes.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah.
That'll be there forever.
Yes, it will.
Oh, yeah.
Love to hear you sing that.
All right. Let's do. I fell in love with you first time that I looked into them their eyes. You got a certain little cute way of flirting with them their eyes. They make me feel so happy. They make me feel so blue. No, darling, can't you see I'm falling? Going in a great big way for you. You started something, my heart truly jumping. With them, their eyes,
I say you better watch 'em if you're wise. Sweet brown eyes, they sparkle and they bubble. They're gonna get you in a whole lot of trouble. You're overworking 'em. There's danger lurking in them, their eyes. I'm in love with you. With you, the very first time that I looked into them, their eyes. You got a cute way of flirting with them, their eyes. They make me feel so very happy. Oh, yeah, yeah, they make me feel so blue. No stalling, can't you see I'm falling? Going in a great big way for you. You started something. My heart is jumping with their eyes. You'd better watch 'em, big bear, watch 'em if you're wise. Because they sparkle and they're bubble. They're gonna get you in a mess of trouble. You're overworking 'em. There's danger lurking in them, their eyes. Danger lurking in them, their eyes. Oh, baby, how'd you get them, their eyes?
That song is a gem. I love it.
It's so much fun.
And the way
fun.
You do it, it's sort of rough and tough and gruff and swinging.
Well, like it's like an older saloon girl coming on to somebody.
Something like that. But it's, I love the song.
I do,
too.
The
way you do it.
I do, too.
Did you record that one?
I haven't yet, as a matter of fact. Have we, Brad?
Yeah, well, that would be a good
one
to think about on the next one.
We'll do it for you on the next one, dedicated to you.
Okay. Well, we've got more coming up with Rebecca Paris. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz, and it's a production of South Carolina ETV and radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. Thank you. I don't think we've done any Ellington tunes, have we?
No, we haven't.
How could we get this far without doing Duke?
Well, we certainly couldn't leave without doing one, could we?
I think that's an excellent idea. It's sort of a creeping in the back way to announce the Duke Ellington tune.
Absolutely. This is my favorite Ellington ballad, though.
It's your favorite?
Yeah, it's my favorite.
Oh, my God, you've got millions to choose from.
I know, and this one just touches me in a place nowhere. You know, I mean, they all touch me. This is Ellington's music was incredibly prolific. I've sung the religious music as well, and wonderful, gorgeous things. You know, the sacred concerts I've done, but this song just sticks to me. I just love it. This is called I Didn't Know About You.
Okay.
If they would ask me, I would say, I've had a thrill or so, but that goes back to yesterday, a long, long, long time ago. I ran around with my own little crowd, the usual laughs, not often, but loud. And in the world that I knew, I didn't know about you. Chasing after the ring on the merry-go-round, just taking my fun wherever it could be found. And yet, what else could I do when I didn't know about you? Darling, now I know I had the loneliest yesterday, every day. Ah, but in your arms, I know for once in my life, living. I had a good time every time I went out. Romance, that was just a thing that I kidded about. How could I know about love when I didn't know about you? How could I know about love? When I didn't know, I did not know about you.
Well, it's just the way I thought it would be. Gorgeous. How could you do anything else but sing wonderfully on that tune? your favorite Duke Ellington tune.
Thank you, Marion.
Beautiful. Well, unfortunately, we have to end this marvelous show. I've had such a good time. And we're going to end with East of the Sun.
That's a great romantic romp, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I love it. A happy love song.
Yes.
East of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house of love, dear. Near to the sun in the day, nearer to the moon at night. We're gonna live in a lovely way, dear, on love and pale moonlight. Just you and I forever and a day. Love will never die, 'cause we'll keep it that way. Up among the stars, we're gonna find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun and west of the moon, my dear. East of the sun and west of the moon. Never going to die, 'cause we'll keep it that way. Up among the stars, we're gonna find a harmony of life to a lovely tune. East of the sun and west of the moon, my dear, yeah. East of the sun and west of the moon. East of the sun and west of the moon.
Well, we couldn't have picked a better song for the ending.
Always leave them happy, huh?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Rebecca and Brad, for a wonderful time today.
Well, we can't thank you enough, Marion. We're both very blessed to play with you, and this precious time has been just wonderful.
Well, that's how I feel about you guys.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marion McPartland. Her guest today has been Rebecca Paris. Piano Jazz is recorded at Manhattan Beach Studios in New York City and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio.